Amen. Okay, well, we've been talking over the last few weeks, I think about a month. Last time I was sharing, I was talking about resting in the Lord, you remember? And so, I don't know, that Psalm 23 has been my theme song for this whole past month, and so I'm going to share a little bit more about some of the things I've learned from it today. But I think the theme that's sort of been woven through a lot of the conference calls too, like when Warren shared about Asa, like how God looks on our heart, and Daniel was talking about encouraging and how we can encourage others. And then last week, Barney was talking about five things that make us strong, and one of them is definitely, you know, taking time to have this prayer pause, right? He was talking about set your alarm on your phone, and that verse about seven times a day will I praise you. I'm like, well, seven, how about 25? You know, let's up the game a little bit from the Old Testament. How's that? But I just think that this whole topic is so great. And so what I wanted to share today was about being strengthened by the shepherd. And how does that happen? And so we have a couple of fun pictures that we're going to put up as we go along. But Psalm 23, you know, it just describes basically how God shepherds people. And of course, we're his sons today. And so we have an even greater relationship. But I think that we can learn so much from looking at the shepherd and how the shepherd takes care of us. Because as a child and a relationship with our Heavenly Father, so a child and father relationship is even closer, obviously, than a sheep and a shepherd. But what we can learn from the sheep and the shepherd contributes, I think, then to this even fuller understanding about how God is our Father and he takes care of us in similar ways. So that first picture up there is Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Aren't those cute little babies? I just thought that was a really good picture of here's the expanded version of Psalm 23, 1 and 2. The Lord will shepherd me, and I will not be lacking in anything. I will not perish, suffer damage, be needy, be injured or harmed. He will settle me in meadows of strength, or the green pastures, right? And he will guide me to quiet waters, waters of quietness. So that's what we were talking about, the rest and how when we come and we can lay down in the green pasture, then we can find rest. And that's, you know, such a needed thing in our day and time. So, you know, we can continue to talk about that for a really long time. But the thing about the quiet waters is that the provision, you know, that God as a shepherd makes is one of the things about quietness is that it provides us strength, a firmness. When I think about strength, I think about like a firm foundation for our lives. And like I said, I mean, that is something we all acknowledge is really needed in our day and time. Not only our day and time, but always. But it's a message that we have to give to people is that we don't have to live our lives with this agitated, I don't know what I'm doing, and wander around. And when I was in Georgia, I had a lot of fun. I had about an hour and a half to talk to everybody about the shepherd, and so I gave these scenarios about why does the word call us sheep, you know? Well, there's a lot of different reasons, but one of them is that they tend to just wander off, or they also, like, they're eating their own grass, and they're just looking at their own grass, and they just keep on going, and pretty soon they're, you know, walking off the cliff. So there are a lot of fun parallels about how people are very similar to sheep. But they the thing that's cool is that when we realize that the parallel about God calling us sheep is not that we're stupid or we're dumb or anything like that, it's that we are dependent. We are dependent on the shepherd, and we're dependent on God as our Father and our Lord, who guides us and does all these really cool things that I'm going to talk about. So, I wanted to just read a few familiar verses from the New Testament, so we set the idea that this is still so much bigger, because God has given us Christ in us, He's given us His Spirit, so we can be dependent on Him via that. All right, so Ephesians 3:16, I want to read it from the NLT. I pray, this is, you know, Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus, right? I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. When I first had the verse up there, right, is we strengthen with might by His Spirit in the inner man. All right, so this strength that we're talking about is an inner soul. It's an inner strength. And it really, truthfully, comes by way of the Spirit. We can't have the kind of strength that we need in our lives outside of having the Spirit of God. But what that Spirit does then is it strengthens us to the place where we are not like those sheep wandering around. You know, we can have a firm foundation. Another one that I just love, the Aramaic translation, is, you know, very familiar verse about I can do all things, Philippians 4:13. But in Aramaic it says, I find strength in everything through Christ who strengthens me. We actually have to find this kind of strength. It is built into the Spirit that we have, right? But in order to live it out and really live like this, where we live our lives with confidence, with assurance, with joy, you know, where it doesn't necessarily mean that there's no problems. It's not like there's no wolves out there. There are. But we can find strength in Christ who strengthens us. And then this last verse is I wanted to read was 1 Peter 5, and it's verse 10. The NLT is also really beautiful in this one. It says, in His kindness, in His what? Kindness. God called you to share in His eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. That's why I wanted to play 10,000 Reasons, because we have all eternity to praise God and to tell Him how much we appreciate His kindness to us. So, after you have suffered a little while, yeah, we're living here, He will restore, support, and strengthen you. And He will place you on a firm foundation. That the King James says He will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And I love that idea of the lambs, you know, settling down into the pasture. Like He will settle us. There's another picture that shows the verse 1 there about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So the sheep are following Him. And just going through where they're not lying down in that picture, they're actually following Him, but it's still the same idea that there's a settling. So that's the first thing I wanted us to see, that this kind of strengthening that the shepherd provides and the Father provides is a settling. It's a settling in our hearts. And so I was trying to think of an analogy of, like, how do you get strengthened? Like, the Hebrew word is kazak. It's pronounced kazak. It's C-H-A-Z-A-Q. But it means to be made firm. And so I was thinking about how when you pour cement, right, it's all gooey and it has to be all churned up and got that big thing that goes round and round. And once you pour it out, though, right, you put it inside of a form. And then as it cures and as it settles, it gets harder, right? So eventually people walk on it. But you can't walk on it when you first pour it, right? So it's a sort of it's a funny analogy, but it's the idea of what happens over time in our lives where we get settled, where the cement gets cured, and then we can walk with confidence and assurance and strength day by day by day. Because basically, once cement cures, it doesn't get puddly again, right? So anyway, it's just an idea. So how are we strengthened? So I wanted to look at a couple different ways that from both the Old and New Testament that are examples of how God strengthens us. And the first way he strengthens us is by giving us answers to our needs. And that's why it's strengthened with might by his Spirit, right? When we go to God as our Father and say, I have this need, I need some answers, I don't know which direction to go in, help me to have wisdom, help me to have understanding. And then because he gives us the answers, then that strengthens us. So I wanted to just give you an example of the story of David. It's in 1 Samuel 30. We're not going to read the whole record, but it's the record of when the Amalekites came to Ziklag, where he had 600 men and all of their wives and children. And the Amalekites came in and they burned the city and they stole all the stuff and they took all the women and children captive. Like, they didn't kill everybody, but they took them captive. And so when David and his men come back to Ziklag and they find out that all their wives and their children are gone and all their possessions are gone, they set up a big wailing here. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 3 says, when David and his men came to the city, they found it burned with fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. And then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. David's two wives also had been taken captive, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and daughters. They were bitter, you know. And when trials and different things happen that we don't understand, or something gets stolen from us, or there's a death, or whatever it is, it can settle bitterness inside, right? But we can't let that happen. So what David did is what we need to do too, in verse 6. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And then this is how he got strengthened. Verse 7, David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Elimelech, bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord. So this is what he asked the Lord. Shall I pursue after this band? Shall I overtake them? So he has two questions. Shall I pursue after this band? And shall I overtake them? And so the Lord answers and said, pursue, for you will surely overtake and shall surely rescue. In other words, recover everything. So in this case, it was a question, and I've used this passage a lot of times to teach people about asking questions to God, because David asked a really specific question. Should I go against it, and will I win? And God says, yes, you should go against them, and yes, you will win. And then, you know, as it proceeds, he tells them how to do it. So David and his men go in and get everybody back. And in fact, they get so much spoil back from the Amalekites that David distributes it to all the places where he and his men had stayed. And they have a big party, and they have all this giving that as a result of this answer to prayer. So what's really cool about the word for prayer is the word picture means to seek the shepherding of the strong one. So when we seek the shepherding of the strong one, then what we're doing is we're asking very specific questions. And God always answers our questions. Sometimes the answer might be no, or turn around, or whatever. But he never withholds his answers, ever. So you see how that can strengthen. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He went to God and he said, I need answers. What is it? And God promptly told him exactly what to do. And I just think that's an awesome example of even how it works today. Because what's the wisdom that you need right this moment? Well, is God going to withhold it? No, he's not. He's going to be right there to tell us exactly what it is that we need to do. So back in Psalm 23, verse 3, this is what I also wanted to talk about a little bit, was how the shepherd leads or guides us. And so you can see the next slide. I think it's kind of cool. You see how he's holding his staff. And the shepherd always went before the sheep to lead them. So Psalm 23, verse 3 says, he converts my soul and leads me on paths of truth or paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The shepherd, and so God also by way of the Spirit, leads us in front. He's not pushing from behind and going, oh, come on, get on. No, he leads with love, like some of those songs. See, love moved first. God so loved the world that he gave. He's the one who always moves first. And that's why we can follow him. John 10 talks about how my sheep hear my voice. The reason the sheep hear or follow the shepherd is because they actually hear his voice. You remember the time when you first heard God by way of the Spirit? How excited you were? Well, like, I heard from God. I can really talk to him. He actually talks to me. I was so excited at that point. I just told everybody and their brother about it. You know, this is just amazing. Because I had grown up believing in God my whole life. But I had never heard his voice. And when I heard it, then it was just like, wow, this is the way I want to live my whole life, you know. So it's been about, you know, almost 50 years of hearing his voice. So it's just so exciting. This idea of the shepherd leading the sheep never stops. He never stops taking care of us. So he's always, you know, steering us away from the wrong path and showing us where the right path is and stuff like that. So I wanted to just give you another example from the New Testament about the record of Cornelius and Peter from Acts 10. And again, we're not going to read the whole thing, but you're familiar enough with the record so that you remember how Peter was up on the rooftop praying and God gave him a vision of this big sheet with all these unclean animals coming down, and he says, rise up and eat, and kill and eat. And Peter's like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm a good Jew. I'm not going to do that. And three times, you know, he has this vision, right? And so, let's see, I think around verse 14, voice came to him saying, Simon, rise up, kill and eat. And Simon said, let it not be so, my Lord, because I've never eaten anything that is corrupt and unclean. And again, a second time, the voice came to him. So when God gave him this vision, he had to think about it. And he didn't go around blabbing, go, I got a vision. No, he took it into his heart, and he said, okay, what does this vision mean? And then, you know, the guys come and appear at the door and say, come with us. And God says, yeah, you should just go with them. And he still didn't know what was really supposed to be happening, except that this man had sent for him. So he takes some brothers with him, and they go there. And down in verse 28, he gets there and he meets Cornelius, and it says, he said to them, you know that it is not lawful for a Judean man to associate with an alien man or with a Gentile who is not of his race. Yet God has showed me that I should not say about anyone that he is unclean or corrupt. And down in verse 34, he finally understands what the meaning of the vision is that I understood that God is no respecter of persons. It was like God was just leading him little by little. He gives him a vision, then he tells him partially what he should do, then he tells him the next thing to do, then when he goes there, he sees, well, this is what God showed me, and then, bam, he understands. God is no respecter of persons. Can you imagine how revolutionary that was at that point? No Judean would ever go to a Gentile household and go there, let alone eat with them. And here, God is saying, but I have a whole another sheepfold. Like Jesus talked about, I have another sheepfold. And I'm going to call them too. And guess what? That sheepfold, the Gentiles and the original sheepfold are going to become one new man who's actually a totally different entity that was the mystery, you know. And see how it was all sort of unfolded, though? That's how God leads us in paths of righteousness, where it's not this, where you know every single thing, you know, what the end is going to be before you start. It's a walk. Here I am, I'm a sheep, I'm walking, I'm just going to keep on walking, I'm going to keep on walking, right? Okay, so I just think that is really a cool idea, that we are strengthened by the shepherd as we walk, as we follow him. So then the next slide is about verse 4, back in Psalm 23, that he says, because of your name, even if I walk in shadowed valleys, I will not fear death from evil or the evil one, because you are with me. So the personal presence of God in Christ in us is also, that's what Philippians is talking about, is it's we find it because it's strengthening. We don't have to fear the evil one or any kind of evil because you are with me. Well, God says he's never going to forsake us, ever. He never stops holding our hand. He never stops walking with us. He never, you know, shuts up. He's always, 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 always there. I was reminded again about that when I was talking about resting, how when the sheep are actually comforted and are feel like they have green pastures to lie down in, is they drop down and settle, right? So that was what we were talking about earlier. But it also is that they need to stop speaking, like zip their lips and be quiet. Because as people, there is a tendency, even when we're lying down or trying to rest, that we still are talking. Just look at those wolves out there. there really are still wolves. There still is evil. We're going through a valley. And one of the things, you know, that we have to really kind of consider in our own minds is some of the ideas of gossip, where, you know, Mrs. McGillicuddy Sheep is saying to her neighbor, you know, Bozo, going, I heard that there was a Mr. Rocco over there. His son got killed by a lion. I heard that, and I didn't see it myself, but I did hear about it. And I don't want you to be afraid. No. You don't have to be afraid, because you know the shepherd's over there. But you know it really did happen, and I really want to tell you about it. I mean, it is so typical of people to just still keep talking about the problems. So when we really believe that the shepherd is going to protect us from all of the predators that are around us, then we're not going to be talking about it. We're going to be talking about how great the shepherd is. And I wanted to read 2 Thessalonians 3, because I think this is an awesome verse. It's part of our prayer, of the prayer about seeking the shepherding of the strong one, is from now on, our brothers, pray, okay, so seek the shepherding, pray for us, that the word of our Lord may run its course and be glorified in every place as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from evil and dishonest men. For not everyone has faith, but the Lord is faithful, who will keep you and rescue you from the evil one. That's a promise we can bank on. And when we really bank on that, see, when we really focus on that, when we will not be looking at the wolves around us, or the lion, or whatever happened to so-and-so, but as soon as we find out about something that did happen or whatever, we will immediately turn to the shepherd and to our God as our Father and say, you go and rescue them. We've heard of people that got sick this week. You know, it's not like there's no wolves. But our prayer is not about the wolves. It's about God being the shepherd and being our Father to take care of the situation. And he will rescue, it says. He will keep you and rescue you from the evil one. He will. So we got this great prayer to do, see? And you see how it starts strengthening you then too? Because you know that it's not you. And it's not even our prayers that make sense, although they, you know, are very... We're seeking to have that shepherding happen, and God wants us to pray to him. But it is not our prayers that cause the deliverance. It's God who is the one who's the Almighty One, right? And the Lord Jesus is continuing to do this work ongoing every day, day after day, with the body. What does the body need, wherever it is? It's astounding, like I've said so many times. How does Jesus do that all to every believer all around the world? You think about how many problems there are all around the world that need shepherding, right? But he's doing it. He's continuing to do it. And it's because he can do it, because he put the Spirit of Christ in each person, so he has this direct connection to every sheep. Okay, now... The verse 4 is about your rod and your staff encourage me or comfort me. And we could see the next slide, I think, shows about the rod and the staff. And I was reading this book this week about, it's from Philip Keller, called The Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. Now the one with the shepherd, Jeffrey, the one with the picture of the crook. Anyway, you can see it right here. There. That's okay. That's a good one. Well, the two things that the shepherd had were a rod and a staff. Those were his two main implements that he used to help the sheep. And the rod was kind of a club that hung off his belt. And he would use that lots of times to, you know, kill a lion or do snakes or whatever, take care of the predators, right? But it also had a really interesting use about this rod. It was about maybe this long, and it kind of rough, and sometimes even had nails in it at the end of it. So if he threw it, you know, it could kill a bear. You know, like that. Anyway, but this is a really cool thing that the shepherd used the rod for. So as the sheep are coming out of the gate, like they've been in their path in the fold all night long, as they come out the gate, the shepherd examines each one, and he uses this rod to like separate out the hairs of the sheep and the fleece and kind of pull them back and, you know, examine the outside of them to see if they have any sores, did they have any little ticks bugging them, or, you know, what's going on with the health of the sheep. And he used the rod like that, where it's kind of like an examining. And I just thought that is so wonderful. The reason the rod can encourage us is because we know that God doesn't leave us by ourselves to just flounder around doing whatever we're going to do. He actually wants to be involved in every single thing in our lives. And he examines it and helps us to examine it. And if there is some, you know, thing going on with the sheep's skin or whatever, then that's why the next verse talks about he anointed my head with oil. You know, the oil was the balm that fixed a lot of things in the sheep's life. So anyway, I just thought that was so cool about the rod, that not only does the rod protect us, you know, which we've talked about a lot of times, but it also helps to examine our hearts so that we are turned to the right way, and we understand that the shepherd will take care of us no matter what the healing is or what the need is. I, this past week, when I got home from Georgia, I was doing good in the traveling and stuff, but it was a long trip, and so I got some kind of stomach thing going on this past week, and so I was really seeking the shepherding of the strong one, because it wasn't very fun initially. But this happened, see, where I got comforted. I got wisdom about what to do. God showed me exactly which herbs to take to help it subside. And he just really, like, I felt like he just kind of wrapped his arms around me, said, "It's going to be okay. You'll be okay. Just trust me," you know. And I don't know, the visual picture of, see, look, how the lambs come up. And they're comforted also by the staff. And the staff is what would rescue them and guide them and things like that. But see how they're coming up? And so I wanted to read this also about the rod and the staff, I guess it's the staff, that he talks about. And this man was a shepherd, and he had sheep in a number of different situations. So he had firsthand understanding about it. But he goes, "Sometimes I've been fascinated to see how a shepherd will actually hold his staff against the side of some sheep that is a special pet or favorite, simply so that they are in touch. They will walk along this way almost as though it were hand in hand, where the shepherd would put the staff on top of the sheep, on their head or on their back, and just walk along with them like that. The sheep obviously enjoys this special attention from the shepherd and revels in the close, personal, intimate contact between them. To be treated in this special way by the shepherd is to know comfort in a deep dimension. It's a delightful and moving picture. Where thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." It's the personal presence of God in Christ in us that we know. It's like he's touching us. He's guiding us and doing protecting and all these great things, but it's really personal. So whatever we need, we can have that really, really intimate, close relationship with him. So, the other thing that I've been talking about and teaching about is how to do this kind of prayer, like seek the shepherding of the strong one, but to use the name of Jesus Christ and to substitute it as saying in the name of the shepherd. Because there's so many things that people need that are along these lines. They need rest. They need the waters of quietness. They need guidance. They need fear to be set free from fear. They need to know that they're loved and cherished and cared for. That's why I wanted to play that song about love move first. You know, we need to know that every day, that love move first. But anyway, when we're asking for something and praying for something, it's like you cannot be looking at the problem and facing the problem. You have to be facing the shepherd. And that's why I said, like, pray in the name of the shepherd, is because you can say, okay, there is a problem, but I'm asking you as the shepherd to go to work in this situation and solve it because I can't. We can't. A lot of times we can speak God's word, a lot of things we can do, but we can't solve people's problems. We can't even solve our own problems, right? I mean, not really, truthfully. That's why we need the shepherd. So if you look at Romans 8, I just think this is a wonderful way to look at this verse. Verse 26. So also the Spirit aids our weakness. For we do not know what is right to pray for. But the Spirit prays on our behalf with groans that are not describable. That's why, speaking in tongues is so wonderful. But here it goes, see, now he who searches the hearts, just like the shepherd did with the rod, right? He searches the hearts of all the sheep and all the things that are going on. He searches the hearts. He knows what is the thinking of the Spirit, that Spirit prays on behalf of the holy ones according to the will of God. When we speak in tongues and pray by the Spirit, see, we're strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, and our inner soul becomes strengthened because we know that we don't know what to pray for as we ought. But we do know that He does. He knows what to pray for. And He's the great shepherd. I was reminded of that verse in Psalm 27, the whole psalm of Psalm 27 about, we seek, the Lord said, seek my face. And I said, yes, I will seek your face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. But that psalm ends with, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Wait on Him. Entwine your heart together with His. Let Him do the shepherding. Let Him do the guiding. Let Him do the resting. Let Him do the leading. Let Him solve the problems that are around, because He's the one who can. So the last verse I wanted to read was Hebrews 13. This talks about how Jesus is the shepherd. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. Verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep, and as He shepherds, and as He does His work, ongoing too, then we are matured, strengthened, settled, made firm like concrete. We have a firm foundation. We don't ever have to be ruffled around. We don't have to be talking about everything about it, right? But we can rest assured that, you know, His rod and His staff are comforting us and they're encouraging us. And He will absolutely never leave us or forsake us. So the last verse of Psalm 23 is always the great one to end with. Surely Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I mean, David saying that is just so awesome. It's again, it's kind of like along the lines of, bless the Lord, oh my soul. You know, surely, surely, for certain, Your goodness and love will follow me, and I will follow You. And it's when we say, yes, Lord, I will seek Your face. Yes, I will follow You. Yes, I will try to understand every single day, what's Your guidance? What do You want me to do? How do You want me to speak? Where do You want me to stand? What is my firm foundation? Then He will strengthen us, and He will guide us, and He will absolutely never forsake us. And the coolest part, that we get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, amen? All right, bless you.